Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Ve'Avdi David. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse in Shabbos, Parshas Vayigash, that year was the ninth day of the month of Teves in the year Tafshin Mem Zayin, which is exactly 39 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in the Prophets where it says, Ve'Avdi David, my servant David, Melech Aleihem is going to be the king over them. V'roye Echol Yiel Kulam. We're going to have one leader for all of them. This is a verse of the prophets that we read in the Haftarah of Parshas Vayigash. The Rebbe says it's known, the Chassidic discourse of the previous Rebbe on this verse, which is already published with the language of the way it was written. And we know that when you read language, it makes you actually smart. And he starts it with a question. Why do we associate and attribute the King Messiah to King David? And we call him David. And Jefferson, you can explain that he starts off with a question. And many, many Hasidic discourses start off with a question because when you have a question, so the explanation afterwards has a tremendous joy and energy. He uses a Yiddish word, Rebbe, geschmack, it's enjoyable. And not only that, there's also an explanation of when you have an explanation after a question is the concept of Yisra and Arim and Tercha Choshech. Because when you're in dark and then you have light versus if you just have light, the light that comes after darkness is much greater. Or another terminology in Kabbalah called Ur Chayzer, you have a light that shines straight, but a light that bounces off is much stronger. Or like another concept, Lamasi Yadecha Tichsev, there's something tremendous satisfaction when you put effort into something. And he continues on over there that this that it says, there's going to be one leader is referring to, we're not going to be split anymore into two kingdoms. And like it says in the verses in the Haftorah before that, that he says that you should take one staff and you should write on there for the tribe of Judah and for the Jewish people, his friends, and take another staff and you should write on there to Yosef, Ephraim, and all the Jewish people, his friends. And I'm going to take the staff of Yosef, which is in the hands of Ephraim and the Jewish people and his friends. And I'm going to put it to the staff of Yehuda. And I'm going to make one staff out of both of them. And this is one of the explanations in reference to the Haftarah of Parshas Vayigash. Because in Parshas Vayigash it says, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, that Yehuda came close to Yosef. And the Hagoshas Yehuda Yosef, Yehuda's coming close to Yosef, and Yosef's the one that's standing, is the leader, and Yehuda's confronting, coming close to Yosef. And like it's explained, the whole idea behind it, and the same thing also in the Haftarah, where it says, I'm going to give one staff Yehuda, and over there we're going to also create the union between Yehuda and Yosef. However, when you have the union between two people, as Yehuda and Yosef, there's two possibilities, like he explains over there. It's possible that Yosef is the king, and Yehuda is coming to approach Yosef, like it says in this week, Parsha Vayigash, that Yehuda comes to Yosef, and Yosef is much higher than Yehuda, and there's another way that, no, Yehuda is higher than Yosef. And that's where you're going to have the union between Yosef and Yehuda in the future Mashiach comes. In a way that Avdi David, that Yehuda is going to be the king, that the king Messiah is going to come from Yehuda and not from Yosef. So in the Parsha, Vayigashel of Yehuda, Yosef is the king. Yehuda is approaching Yosef. And when in the prophets referring to, in the future, David, you're from the tribe of Yehuda, is going to be the king. And obviously, we're going to bring Yosef close to Yehuda. Now, to understand this idea, and it was the idea of what, of Yehuda and Yosef, so we have to know what does that mean practically and spiritually, because everything ultimately in Judaism, especially in Kabbalah, is not just to take you on a spiritual journey, but it's there to help you serving Hashem, how we can serve Hashem better. And since the ultimate goal is doing our work, so therefore he explains it over there the way it is, and I'll say it in Hebrew, and I'll translate, ba'avodas ha'adam, how the person does the spiritual work. And from our spiritual work, that's the way it trickles down all the level of Ishtalshlos, all the worlds, all the spheres, etc. And what does he explain over here, over there? That Yosef and Yehuda is Talmud, studying Torah, and Maas and more actions. Now to be clear, everyone has to learn Torah and everyone has to do the mitzvot. And everyone has to do mitzvot and learn Torah. No one's exempt from anything. But the difference is, what's the strong suit? So Talmud learning Torah, that was a strong suit of Yosef. And like it's self-understood what it says, that Yaakov sent Yehuda in front of him to establish a yeshiva for the Jewish people in Egypt. In other words, the place of Talmud for the Jewish people is in the land of Goshen, which is basically, which is under the jurisdiction of Yosef. Even though he sent Yehuda, yes, to build the buildings, but ultimately Yosef is Torah. And that's why also Yosef comes from the word of Hesafa to add. Because the whole idea of Torah is to get into it and to learn and ask questions and to grow from Torah, to add in learning Torah. Now, even though you're going to say, what do you mean? Everything that any idea that you come with already was given at Mount Sinai. And yes, but the fact is, there has to be something revolutionary, and there has to be something you're adding. A sharp student comes up with something new. Obviously, it was given before, but you're revealing it that was concealed until now. So Yosef has got the idea of Torah and adding in Torah. Yehuda, on the other hand, what's his strong suit? Action. Because the power of action in human being, and it's the lowest level, just functional, you're just doing something. Whether it's a human, and how much more so with the Jewish people that we're called Adam, and therefore this level of action is almost like it's going from the highest level to the lowest level, and that's why when it comes to action, he's called Yehuda from Hidayah, acceptance, just do it, getting the job done. So what do we see clear? That Yosef represents the idea of learning Torah and growth. And Yehuda represents action, just doing it. Now, when it comes to Torah and action, which again, Torah we said is connected more to Yosef and action more to Yehuda. So in the Talmud there's a big debate. What's greater? Is it greater to learn Torah? Or is it greater the action doing the mitzvahs? So one says, every debate, one says Talmud is greater and he has his reasons, and the other one says action is greater and they have their reasons. Now, what happened at the end? There was a resolution that said, Talmud is greater. Talmud won the debate. But the fact is, we know that when there's an argument, both sides are really correct. One wins the debate, but both there's value on each side. So therefore, there's room for both opinions, whether Talmud is greater or action is greater. And they're both words, they're both godly words. It's not like one is the seconds. No, they're both first. But in reality, la halacha, in reality, you need to have one ruling. So therefore they came along and they said that what Talmud is greater. Now, what is the reason why Talmud's greater? Because Talmud brings you to do the action. Because if you don't study Torah, how do you know what mitzvahs are and what to do and how to do them? So in other words, What's the real reason why action is greater? Because when a person does a mitzvah, you're transforming the world. And ultimately, it's about transforming the world. But in order to transform the world, you need the power from Torah. And like we see literally, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, you have to go ahead and learn Torah. You have to know what to do. So therefore, because Torah guides you what to do and how to do, so even though the action does the transformation, but Torah gets some credit for it. Because if you didn't learn Torah, you wouldn't do it. So Torah also has the quality and the benefit of transforming. He's like a partner with action. And therefore, Talmud is greater than action now, and also spiritually. Because again, action, yes, does the transformation. But Talmud causes you to do the transformation. So Talmud has the wisdom. Plus, it's a partner with the transformation. Now, but that's all today. Today means in Galut. Because today we have to transform the world. However, what's going to happen when future Mashiach comes? There's nothing to transform anymore. The world's transformed. Like it says clearly in the prophets, Ves ruach atuma avir min aretz, the spirit of impurity Hashem is going to take away from the earth. So then what happens is, the action is not about transforming anything. And therefore, the action doesn't need the Talmud to tell you to do the mitzvah and how to do it, because again, it's not the transformer anymore. So therefore, the Talmud doesn't really bring you to action. And then action is going to be greater, because action stands alone. It's not sitting based. There's no partnership with Talmud. In other words, you could say that the way that the change is going to be in the halachic ruling, in the future when Mashiach comes. In other words, they're going to obviously have to go ahead and have a discussion which one is greater, Talmud or action, and then they're going to rule, yeah, action is greater. And that's going to be ruling then. And that's actually the way it's in Jewish law. Because you can have a possibility of changing a ruling from one court to another court. Why? Because after they went ahead and they revisited the issues, and they have another ruling. And not only that, even in that generation, we find that once they ruled as follows, and later on they revisited the case and they ruled differently. And how much more so when it comes, we're going to have in the future, the Sanhedrin of the future, compared to the Sanhedrin of today, that they're going to change the ruling. Now, what do we see from here? That this, that in the future, Talmud's not going to be greater. Why? Because Talmud doesn't have the benefit that's causing action to be transformed. But, on the other hand, the reason why that action is greater, if there's no transformation, because in the future we're going to realize, and what's going to be revealed is, the power of iskafia, acceptance, inaction. In other words, action, in order to do an action, and especially if you're not doing it for transformation, action requires, I'll say the words in Hebrew, bittul and anivus. It requires acceptance, it requires humility. When you're learning, I think like this and I think like that, that's my opinion, your opinion, is the easier ego involved. With action, there's no ego involved. This is what Hashem wants me to do, hineni, I'm ready to do it. So what's going to shine in the future, in action, why action is greater, the greatest, is because action represents humility, acceptance. And that's why it says, my servant David is going to be the king, because then in the future, even though we're going to have all the revelations, and even the revelations that Talmud is so great because he's studying the wisdom of Hashem, but the real revolutionary idea is going to be in the future, is going to be action. What means action? Acceptance. And that's why it's called my servant King David. Because servant is represented by acceptance. When you just accept, you do what you have to do. And that's why the King Messiah is called David. Because the real quality of King David is humility. And like to explain the Chassidic discourse, even though he's going to be a great king, what did he call himself? I'm poor and destitute. What does that mean practically? He wasn't poor financially, but he was humble. He realized that the real power is Hashem. And that's why he was called a real chassid, a pious person. And that's the real power of King Mashiach, because he's going to be 100% humble. And that's why the verse says, V'avdi David melech aleihem. My servant King David is the king. Because in the future, what's going to be revealed? Action. Action, acceptance, humility. And we're going to have the building of the third temple, which is already standing built. And it's going to come down and be revealed in the future. And that's the ultimate of the creation of the world and of all the flow of all the levels of creation, including the 50,000 jubilees, which is all dependent in the future, is pending on our action now in exile. That means even while we were in Egypt. And the ultimate's going to be in the future when Mashiach comes. And what's the ultimate going to be? It's going to be much greater than the third day, which it says twice it was good. Like the Rebbe said, I explained the previous chassidic for bringing in, and what it says, because I'm going to make you like a great nation. In other words, that the greatness of the Jewish people happens through our work in Golos. You want to know if we're great? Doing our work, serving Hashem in exile. And then we're going to come to the building of the third temple. And we're going to come with our children, our grandchildren, our elders, our grandparents, our sons and our daughters. Kahal gadol yeshuva heina. We're all going to return, and it's going to happen b'mheira v'yameinu mamash. Here we have another beautiful Chassidic discourse. Be'avdi David, the real power of action, the real power of humility. And like the Rebbe finishes off, this is all going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. And let's hope we have the coming of Mashiach. And our next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.